Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Alicia.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast where we discuss queer women in movies inclusively defined.
Were you going to say something?
I was like, I was just going to say the same thing. And today we're getting pretty Christmassy.
We are. Merry Christmas to those who celebrate.
Merry Crisis.
Merry Crisis, indeed. also, if you don't celebrate or you have complicated feelings about Christmas, that's real and valid.
A lot of people. Merry Crisis.
The movie.
Yeah, the film that we're doing today is Christmas at the Ranch. Mm-hmm. It's a Tello production from 2021. And its synopsis is: sparks fly between a woman and a female ranch hand when she returns home to Nashville, Tennessee, to try to save her family's land from the bank.
The evil bank.
The bank.
To be clear, I do think banks are kind of evil.
I mean,
at least big ones.
They don't have anyone's intentions in mind.
Exactly.
Though I did switch to a more local bank, mm-hmm, within about actually exactly like a year ago. Oh, wow. And every time I go into that bank, that person knows my name and I'm here for it. So yeah, the only bank I like so far.
The smaller banks, like, well, we don't have to talk about banks.
Anyway,
this movie.
This is economics.
I speak for myself when I say that I would not be a good person to teach economics.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no, that's not what this podcast is. That's not anything I should ever do.
I think I could mansplain Bitcoin.
What?
Very poorly.
Oh my gosh. Incredible.
Yeah. I'd be like, it's not worth it. That's the gist of it now.
Yeah.
Anyway, banks are only one of the bad guys in this film. It is directed by Kristen Baker, who
we've met done her.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We were able to go to the Season of Love premiere back in like 2019. That was fun. Or 2018. I don't know. and that was a lot of fun. And yeah, she directed this film. She also co-wrote it with Julie Anton.
Nice.
And it stars Amanda Rigetti as Kate, Laura Allen as Haley Hollis, who is also in Season of Love, and Lindsay Wagner as Meemaw, and Archie Cow as Charles, which I want to talk a bit about him later.
Yeah. Talk about him.
So this is like a typical Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not Hallmark, Tello, but
yeah, it's Tello, but like the vibe of a Hallmark movie where it's like hardworking city girl goes into the country, goes back home, and finds love and never wants to leave.
And I feel like all of Tello's holiday movies are in the Hallmark vein, which, mm-hmm, is great.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're getting.
Exactly. It's like fluffy. It's, mm-hmm, it's the conflict is never that, I don't know,
yeah,
conflicty.
Yeah, exactly. There's always like some sort of holiday miracle that needs to save Christmas in some way.
Yes, a holiday miracle.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's such a common theme that I didn't really think of, but yes. The holiday miracle is that Haley needs to save her Meemaw's farm, ranch, whatever.
Well, they do explain that they took out a predatory loan to pay for medical expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's real life.
For sure. And they use the ranch as, I guess, capital or not capital. I don't know. This is why it's not economics with us. But they put the house on the, or the ranch on the line, basically. Mm-hmm. And now they owe a bunch of money, and they have no way to pay it because the ranch is not doing so well.
Yeah. Which is interesting. Well, so they have a rival ranch, and mm-hmm. it's actually not the bank. I guess the bank would take the ranch, but then this other guy's offering to buy it.
Awesome. Yeah, so that's the other. Yeah. That's the other bad guy is Bert.
Bert.
Or Berg. Bert.
I don't know. I forget all the men's names always.
But you could tell that they're bad guys because they wear different color cowboy hats.
Yeah. It's very obvious.
It's so obvious. All the Hollises wear white cowboy hats or like kind of like beigey. Kate wears a brownish one, and then the Berts wear these like really fancy black ones.
Yeah.
So that's how you distinguish who's different from who.
Yes, because otherwise you would not be able to tell. Nothing else.
Sometimes it's hard. And I need all those visual cues when I just want to zone out.
And this is a good movie to zone out to.
Yeah.
Very zony, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Haley is a director of social media and marketing, mm-hmm. basically at this really funny company called Mega Energy Drink. Mm-hmm. And energy is NRG.
It's all so absurd.
I did love the like fact that they did not even try to make like real names for stuff.
I like that too.
Yeah, I thought it was just like a great way to poke fun, mm-hmm. and to just know that this film definitely does not take itself seriously.
Yeah,
at all.
Yes. And that's what makes it enjoyable, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. And basically she goes to her boss, who's like super oblivious and just like a little bit stupid. He's trying a little bit too hard to be relevant.
Yeah.
And hip and
really annoying, but that's like his character's trope. So
exactly, that's his trope, that's what he has to be. And he does have a couple of funny one-liners that I think are, they actually made me laugh out loud. But he's not like a, you know, we don't see much of him. But he basically gives Haley this assignment that he needs to sell the company or someone's going to purchase them. I don't know what it is, but yeah. Basically she needs to do this big presentation with a client, or for a client, but her family needs her. So yeah. She has to find a way to do the presentation remotely on a ranch.
Oh my god,
how will she do it?
I love how, is it her grandpa who's like, you know, oh no, is it her brother, who is that guy?
Yeah her brother. Okay. I think the grandpa died and that's why they have so much, well, not that's why, because they have so much medical debt, but they took out the
right,
they had medical debt because of him.
I love how I was like, is it her grandpa or her brother? That's how forgettable. Or actually, not forgettable. It's just how zoned out I was watching this. But her brother is like, you know, we have Wi-Fi on the farm. And she's like, well, okay, I guess. And she's always talking about her social media emergencies.
Go fix. Yeah. And
her arm is like, what?
Yeah, there's like this real juxtaposition between like her city life is equals social media. Whereas the family's life back home, I guess, equals ranch. Just like no social media. They don't understand that kind of life, I guess, because they are, I don't know, doing ranch stuff. So they definitely don't see the things Haley is worried about as emergencies. They're just like, this is not a problem. Which in the grand scheme of things, yeah, it's usually not a problem. Yeah, anything on social media. They definitely have a point.
Yeah. It suggests that, like, I think it's funny to suggest that farms, people who farm or people who ranch or whatever, just like have only contempt for or ignorance of social media.
Yeah.
But that's just like not true at all, because farms are all businesses. And so, like,
yeah,
they use social media all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you have like events and things like that, like this they ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Meemaw and Charlie live together at the ranch. It's the same house, I guess, Haley and Charlie grew up in, their parents lived in, and also that Meemaw and her husband, I think they call him Pawpaw, lived in. So it's been this like generational family home, family ranch, that clearly means a lot to them, and Meemaw wants to pass down to her grandkids. The parents aren't in the picture because they died in a car accident when Haley was just or turning 13 or something like that. So we don't really see much of them. They're mentioned very briefly, and that's one of the weird issues I had with this movie. It was just such a fleeting emotional, I don't know, like attempt at to pull it on the heartstrings that I was just like, it didn't land.
I agree. I mean, I feel like in the sense that that is supposed to be like one of the bigger reasons why she doesn't want to go home, because it's sort of like she's reminded.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of makes sense, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, all the things in this movie are to tug on the heartstrings a little bit, so I guess in that way it makes sense.
Yeah, the other thing I didn't really quite understand was the built-in animosity that Kate and Haley have with each other, even though they've never met. And they both have the same kind of animosity, which is that, like, Kate thinks that Haley is just like this, I don't know, person that the whole, what'd you say?
Uppity.
Yeah, that she's like uppity, that she thinks she's better than everyone. She doesn't live at the ranch because she's better than everyone. She has a big city job. But everyone still like adores her. And Haley is just, I guess she said she's sick of hearing about how Kate like is saving the ranch or like,
yeah, does like, everything right. She is or whatever. I agree. I feel like they wanted to make an enemies to lovers type of story, but like the reasoning for them being enemies was so flimsy. It just didn't make any sense because they actually first meet on a dating app because they're both in this hotel.
Yeah.
It's like a Tinder type dating app that tells you that you're close by to somebody, and they meet in the hotel bar. And they kind of hit it off, but then they're also like lying to each other, like mm-hmm. bump about their names and what they do. And then they like find out that, oh, they're both deeply connected to this ranch. And it's just like, why all of this? Why all of this ruse? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
So the thing I feel like that makes enemies to lovers tropes work so well is when they have this built up past, mm-hmm. And they have a reason, or like, you know, however small it may be, because they've met in person, like they have some sort of like issue with each other that there's been like an event, right? There's usually like an event between these two people that creates that tension, and there wasn't that here. They've never met each other, so it's just this kind of like weird emotional, I don't know,
yeah,
insecurity, like, what's the word I'm looking for, a lack of emotional intelligence is like driving these two to be enemies. And I'm just like, that's just not like, I don't feel like it's super believable, nor is it attractive.
Yeah.
And if this is going to be a romance film for lesbians, that's a big issue for me.
Yeah, me too. I feel like it doesn't have to be believable because of the kind of movie that it is.
Yes.
But it would, it does sort of have to be attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that setup just isn't.
Yeah.
I feel like it gets cuter, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, by the end of the movie, I was like, oh, that was cute. Mm-hmm. But like the first thing that really turned me off was in the very beginning, Kate is on the porch of the house on the ranch, and she's like pacing back and forth, and she's ranting about how she's never even met Haley.
They hate each other, and they just, I don't know. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, no, but exactly that, and how I don't even remember all the little things, but basically how she's just the worst, and like Haley's gonna be the worst, and she doesn't deserve her family basically, and like she doesn't deserve all this like love like whatever, and how she's probably terrible.
Haley's so selfish. That's all it is. She's got her big fancy city job, and she doesn't call, she doesn't visit. She couldn't care less about this place or how stressed it makes Charles. You know, I've worked here for almost 3 years and I've never even met her. And I'm talking to a horse.
Yeah, it's like she's competing to be the one prodigal daughter or whatever.
Exactly. So that's what's weird. And I was like, if I was going to date someone who acted like that, I'd be like, it's not for me.
Yeah.
And there are some times where when they are together, Kate does show that emotional immaturity that I'm just like, nope. And like I said, it doesn't, or like you said, it doesn't have to be believable, but it should be attractive. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm kind of like, yeah. It's not for me.
I agree with you on that, for
sure. But I do want to talk about something also that's not super attractive. Before Haley goes to the ranch, she goes on a date, and this is how the audience is introduced to her being a queer woman. She goes on a date with this like very spiritual person who's into astrology, and her name is Masonry.
Which I thought was hilarious.
I honestly think this is so funny because I don't know if you've seen those memes on, or not memes, these like trends on TikTok that are like weird things I would name my kid if they weren't actual things.
I haven't, but I can imagine what it's like.
And Masonry sounds like, mm-hmm. Honestly, it sounds like, I don't know, because people name their kids Mason all the time. And like, I don't know, I think of like Avery, which is my niece's name, beautiful name, but the, like the re at the end, if you put both of them together, you get Masonry. Yeah. And it's just like, that sounds pretty if it didn't have to do with concrete. Right. You
know? Yeah.
And it's so she has,
like, chose the name for herself on like a spiritual journey or what.
Yeah, and this like butterfly naming ceremony, calls butterfly it. Naming ceremony. And it's just like a terrible date, very cringeworthy. But Haley's like trying to be a good sport about it. Like she's trying to give Masonry like, I don't know, a way to, I don't know, kind of like second chances or third chances, you know, to like, okay, well, explain more about that and try to maybe latch onto something that she can talk about. But one of my favorite lines, Haley says, "What do you do?" And she goes, "I exist."
Yeah.
So, what do you do?
I exist.
No, I mean, like for work, for a job.
Oh. I'm a student.
Oh, that's cool. Where?
Right here.
Like the restaurant?
Or the world, play? Of course.
Of course.
And she's like, well, what do you do for money? And she's like, oh, what is money? Like, who needs money?
Yeah, the only people who say that are the ones that are loaded.
Yeah.
Which we find out masonry is loaded. And it's so sad because Haley's like trying to like, you know, almost like tough it out and like work through it, kind of see if they have anything in common. But masonry is like, and I'm not connecting you on at all a physical level. Will you release me?
That was really funny, that part. But yeah, like Haley is also making a really big deal out of this date because it's the first date she's gone on in years or something. So I think she is like maybe trying really hard because of that. But
yeah,
I feel like that's not how dating works, or it could be, but like that's not how you're gonna really like meet people, is going on one date every few years or whatever.
Yeah, you can't get like discouraged about it. And just avoid it. But also one of the things I found is like a flaw in this film is like later on when Haley and Kate meet for that drink, it's supposed to be really spontaneous and they're like, oh, I never really ask someone this right away. So that makes me think like, okay, so Haley and masonry have, I assume, have been texting. And they have had something in common. How do they get to this point where they're sitting down in front of each other and have nothing to talk about, you know? And it's like, clearly you must have had something in common, but whatever. If that's the case. Yeah, if that's the case, but whatever. But I love that the app is just called a dating app.
Yeah.
In the film, I think that's just another one of those things that's just so funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Kate's constantly checking it. when she's like at the ranch where she also lives. She lives in like a little cottage on the ranch. And she talks to herself a lot.
She talks to her horses.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
Because she's a little animal gay, a horse girl.
A horse girl gay.
She just talks to her animal friends.
Mm-hmm. Another loose tie to keep them together was the way in which they met. I thought was so funny. I literally laughed out loud when I heard it like come out of Charles's mouth when he's like, so there's a fence post that's broken, I guess. And Charles is like, please go to the lodge. Don't camp outside. I don't know. I guess the idea would be that she would go on horseback and then camp outside and then fix it, but it's so far away.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it's just super confusing. And that's why I was laughing out loud. I was like, this makes zero sense. Like, and not like they're not even trying. So, so he's like, just stay at the lodge and, because he'll be at the end of the property to fix the fence or whatever, which I guess is closer to town. I don't know. But it's how the plot gets Kate and Haley to be in the same city at the same time in the same hotel.
Haley's staying in the hotel, or did I miss that?
Haley's just staying there because she had just gotten in on a flight, I guess, and was like, I'm staying here.
Well, how far away could it possibly be?
Exactly. And like, what do these people have? Like thousands of acres? There's no way. There's absolutely no way.
They probably have enough money to like, you know, I don't know.
Sell off some of that land.
Yeah.
You know, free medical debt. Yeah. So I'm like, what? Obviously you have to suspend any form of logic.
Yeah.
But it just makes no sense. But yeah, that date was super awkward. So they match online when they're in the same hotel. and they go and get a drink, and it's just like awkward from the beginning. I mean, like, they have this like nice,
yeah,
kind of like chemistry, but Haley makes it awkward because she takes a work call basically in the middle of a date, which is a real bummer.
Yeah.
She's, and then
definitely got that whole archetype going on of like the workaholic takes her job way too seriously, especially for someone who manages social media for an energy drink brand. Like, I'm sorry, but it's not that important.
Yeah, they're like, if this tweet goes out,
yeah,
they're not going to buy us. And she was like, I don't see how that, because Haley calls it a social media emergency. And Kate's like, I just don't understand how social media is ever an emergency. And she's like, well, it's my job.
Yeah.
Which I can't understand. But yeah, it's just one of those things where they keep like hitting you over the head with that kind of line. And I'm just like, okay, we get it. She's the city girl.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just so weird. They have another bit of tension when Haley goes to the ranch the day after and wants to go to the cottage where it's like her favorite place to stay, but Kate's living there. So instead of, I guess, paying her a lot, they give her a place to live.
Guess
I don't know. Didn't you do something like that?
Yeah, I did an apprenticeship. I know you can also woof and do stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that's what's called woofing.
Yeah, I did an apprenticeship, but that was only the first year that I was farming, and then I lived on my own and just went to work. I didn't live on the farm.
Gotcha. Yeah, so yeah, she lives on in the cottage, and it's like very, very small. It seems like it's more like a shed than anything.
But of course it's cute.
Oh, it's so cute. It's truly adorable.
Yeah.
And that tension is like Haley's, when she finds out she's in Kate's in the cottage, she's like, you've only talked about how great she is every time we talk. So again, they're hitting us over the head that like that's the tension they have. That's why they're enemies.
Yeah. Like, why are you automatically enemies again? Aren't you kind of on the same side?
Yeah.
But then Mima like tells Haley to go extend an olive branch and walk some hot cocoa to the cabin, which like I also don't know how far that is, but apparently it's far enough for her to get really, really cold. Which, you know, that's legit. Like, a lot of Western states, like, I don't know where they are, Wyoming maybe, or something like that. Like,
right, no idea.
Time. It doesn't have to be that long of a distance, but I just think it's funny. She, like, shows up with this hot cocoa, and she's just, like, freezing. And Kate's like, oh, come in. Like, I can't believe you went out dressed like that.
Yeah, without a coat.
Like she's in a tank top or something. Anyways. And then the power goes out and Haley's like, oh my god, Wi-Fi. It's like her first. And Kate's like, calm down.
Yeah,
generator.
And then yeah, they're freaking out over the, well, I guess Haley's freaking out and
Kate doesn't care.
Kate's like, oh, it's really fine. Yeah, she's like, I have a generator, it'll be fine by morning. She has her call sign is Ranch Babe.
Oh yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cute. So she is able to walkie-talkie Mima and Charles to just say, like, hey, we're okay. Yeah, and it's just they're able to sort of workout stuff, and then it gets into like this weird territory again, where I feel like there's, you know, more emotional immaturity. But they talk a bit about Kate's parents and basically how she doesn't have a relationship with them anymore,
I guess because she's gay, question mark.
Yeah, it's all kind of confusing.
Yeah.
It's not really mentioned, like, it's not explicitly mentioned. No. But she was basically like, I'm not who they wanted me to be.
Yeah. And I wonder if that, I feel like it's sort of implied that it's because she's gay, but maybe it's because she's a ranch hand and they want her to be something else besides a ranch hand. I don't know.
Oh yeah, because they said something about how like she wasn't a like a debutante or from high society. She didn't want to be in high society anymore. But that seems again flimsy.
Well, she does reconcile with them in the end, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then we forgot before that they do have a moment where they finally do like meet at the ranch and recognize each other. And it's when basically Haley is talking to her brother and she's like, you should just let Kate go and rent the cottage out as an Airbnb and make more money. And it gets like super awkward and they have this very tense exchange in front of the brother.
Yeah.
And it's all full, like, laden with emotional immaturity.
That's a lot of the movie, but
yeah. And Charles was like, do you guys know each other? And they're like, no. And it's just like, clearly you do. But Haley goes on a hayride, a Christmas hayride that Kate has, I guess, added some stuff to. I don't know, like blankets and reindeer ears.
It seems like this hayride is like 10 feet or something. Like, it's
the worst hayride.
Like a couple of little like Christmas decorations and that's it.
Yeah, like I wonder why you're gonna
no wonder
it'll be smoked.
This is so boring.
Yeah, because the neighboring ranch has their own one that they do and I'm like, yeah, because yours sucks.
Yeah.
So bad. But yeah, basically there's a lot of will they or won't they sell? Obviously they're not going to. And of course a will they or won't they between Haley and Kate. Yeah, and of course they will. Yeah, I feel like the end is, you know, super rushed in you know, typical fashion. Like they basically go from like that snowstorm to having a fight or something. I remember Haley like runs away when she sees her parents' initials on an oak tree. Yeah.
They're like out riding horses and Kate is like, oh, let me show you this. I found these initials carved in an oak tree, and Haley gets really upset because it's her parents' initials. And somehow that's Kate's fault, I guess. And so she runs.
Yeah. And she's like,
okay.
Yeah, because Kate's basically like, well, the reason why you don't want to be here is because it hurts too much to stay. And then Haley's like, you don't know me. It's just like, oh my god.
Like, you don't have to she doesn't have to know you. It's pretty obvious. Like, that's at least a big part of it. And also, like, why are you embarrassed? Like, that's a legitimately painful thing. Like, it's okay to feel pain when you're grieving.
That's
That's like the deal.
Yeah, exactly. So Haley leaves, goes back to the big city, but she keeps looking at clearly professional photographs of Kate, which is really funny. Like, where the fuck did she get those on her work computer? And Haley is able to get the money to save the farm because I guess the company sells and her boss cuts her a big ass check.
I know, and I find that really funny, that part, because the boss is like, oh, yay, like, this company bought us, and now I can pay you this giant check. And she's like, oh, awesome, awesome. And he's like, thinking that she's going to quit, because apparently it's enough money that she doesn't have to work anymore.
Yeah, like, and, for less.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, that doesn't make any sense, but whatever. And then he's like, well, you can do what you want now. You can do whatever you want with that money. And then it's like, it dawns on her she could use it for the ranch. Like, she hadn't thought of it.
She truly has not.
How much time back at that ranch, like, trying to work the numbers so that your grandmother didn't have to sell this ranch. And, like, you didn't think about the fact that if you got cut a huge check, you could help her. I just don't buy it. She's like, oh my God, you're right. I can do what I want with this money. Whoa, I can like help my grandma. And it's like, yeah, no shit. Ugh.
Exactly. You said it perfectly. Oh my gosh.
Then she brings masonry.
Yeah, she gets an idea from her boss about like basically turning the ranch into a retreat for city slickers who need some time in the wilderness. And she brings masonry, which I was like, was this necessary?
I thought that too. I was like, you could do a retreat without masonry.
Stupid. Like, it's not like you valued her on that first date.
Like,
but I guess maybe she's just kind of like, city people will do anything. Because
I guess
the boss sees masonry in his retreat, and it is like has the butterfly thing done on him by her. So right. I guess she's just kind of
is the name he already has.
It's Eric. And I guess Haley, in a sense, is like, there's a sucker born every minute, so why not?
I just think like Haley's still gonna have to deal with masonry then, like every day.
Yeah, what's to really why?
Dislike masonry, or at least not. At least like she doesn't buy into any of the stuff that masonry is like really into, and so.
Yeah, like how are you gonna sell something you don't believe in?
Yeah,
well, it's just so weird. But anyway,
yeah,
Haley gets the girl. She puts up signs in the 10-foot hayride.
Yeah.
That's like, can we try this again, cowgirl?
Yeah.
And then they kiss and then roll credits. Like, that was it.
Short and sweet, to be honest. I mean, I do appreciate that about it.
But could it? I feel like they could have done more in the 100? In the hour 31 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
I kind of loved and hated myself for being like, where's the sex scene?
Yeah. I love how I didn't even think about that. I think I just like, I don't know, are there usually,
well, no, it's not, it would be totally unrealistic for this type of movie to have that, but at the same time I was like, they're kind of like cute, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I thinking? Fuck, did they make it attractive after all? And I was like, I was questioning everything. Oh, did it work? God. Is this who I am now?
You know, I think it can just live in the realm that it lives in of like extremely overly cheesy rom-coms, Christmas rom-coms. The Christmas part is very important because it is a very specific genre.
That's true. Rom-com.
It's not any other rom-com. It's a Christmas one.
It's a Christmas one.
Christmas.
There were a couple other things with this movie I had issues with. One of them is Charles's audio. So that's the one thing I want to talk about.
I thought I was like losing my mind because it's like all of his lines were dubbed.
They're all dubbed. And I don't know why. So like his mic could not have been dead like over and over and over again, and his voice could not have not gotten picked up over and over and over again. So I'm like, what's going on?
I kind of ignored it, but I was like, is this just me or is this something wrong?
Well, it started getting really distracting. I feel like in the beginning it was okay, and then as the movie got on, it got like worse and worse, and I was just like, I can't. It's almost like they did it all at once. They did it all in one day. Mm. And I was just like, I could tell that by the end, they were just like, I'm done trying.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was taking crazy pills.
Yeah. So
it's just like tripping balls.
I thought that too. I was like, am I just like There's something wrong in my brain right now, but I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
No, and it really, like,
and why? I don't
know. I mean, like, yeah, all the characters are, like, the most dimensional, but that really pulled away from it, too. I was just like, now I feel like he's just a disembodied voice.
Yeah.
It really, like, pulled away.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
So it was weird.
Really weird. Like, I preferred the movie we watched last Christmas that was an actual Hallmark movie.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
I forget the name of it.
Yeah, it was a little bit more put together.
Yeah.
So that's something that, like, the production value on this was fine. Mm-hmm. And it had horses.
Yeah.
And lots of animals, which could not have been cheap. But yeah, just the production left me wanting more, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like this is a fine movie to have on in the background if you're, like, doing a Christmas movie day or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be like, whoa, great movie.
Yeah. Thankfully, you can see it for free right now on Tubi. So if it is something that you're interested in watching, like, I probably, even if it was for like $5, I probably wouldn't watch it.
Yeah.
Knowing what I know now.
I streamed it on Peacock, because I already paid for Peacock and it was on there.
Nice. Yeah, you can watch it with ads on Tubi, which worked for me. Yeah, and I think a lot of Tello films are on there right now, so I don't know how long they will be on there, but I know Tello does some, you know, pretty good rom-com stuff, so.
I think this was number three that they made.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've made any since then, actually.
Of course. I don't know. They did, yeah, they did I Hate New Year's, which was, yeah. It was the one after this, I believe.
Oh, I thought it was before.
Or before?
It was like Season of Love, I Hate New Year's, and then this one.
You're right. It was. Okay. I'm wrong. Yeah, wrong. I was watching an interview with Kristen Baker where she was talking about how, like, the idea for this came up, and all three of those were from a 2018 pitch to production contest. Which I thought was pretty cool. Like a cool concept where you write a screenplay and you send it in, and, you know, they kind of, if they like it enough, they'll workshop it with you and make it into a movie. I was like, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, it works.
I also don't know what the status of Tello is. Like, do they still exist?
Or did they get
bought or something?
I do not know.
I don't know either. Something in my mind that they're not the same in some way, or maybe they don't exist anymore. Because, yeah, this movie's from 2021, and I don't think they've made any holiday movies, at least.
Oh, they did. They made a Holiday I Do is their latest one.
Oh, okay, good. I stand corrected.
But let's see. Yeah, it looks like Tello is still going on. They have a Christmas rom-com movie bundle. That's pretty cool. Oh, they have, like, several. There's one called Merry and Gay.
Christmas at the Ranch. That one, actually.
Yeah, I Hate New Year's. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Looks like they're still around. You can get a subscription to buy films or rent them. Oh, yeah. Our fave Heather Hogan over at Autostraddle says,
that too. She loves
yes.
It.
Well, the one thing I'll say is that it's a welcome horse girl holiday rom-com that feels like fan fiction in the way all the best Hallmark Christmas movies do. Yeah. And I feel like you could write fan fiction about it, too.
Oh, for sure. No. Fan fiction about anything.
That's true. But
if you should, that's a different question, but that's up to you.
Whatever you want. Whatever's going to make your Christmas.
Yeah.
Merry and bright. Yeah. One of the things I read on the Queer Review This movie has a soundtrack featuring songs by Dia Frampton and Dominique Provost-Chalky.
I just saw that too. And yeah.
I was surprised by that.
Dominique uses they, them pronouns now. So I'll just say that they're like a queer icon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like they were in
Wynonna Earp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a big Wynonna Earp fan. That show is so utterly ridiculous and absurd, but like in the best way.
Yeah, Aaron and I started it recently, and I kind of forgot about it until right now, so I think we'll have to bring it back up again. Yeah, it is like so ridiculous.
Yeah. But it's got strong Buffy vibes, and Buffy was like a formative show for me, and so I think that was part of why I really loved it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I totally get those vibes too.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But yeah, I mean, like, I am really split on this film. It's something that, like, I don't ever really, like, not want to recommend a film.
Yeah.
But if it's free, watch it, and you want to just, like, have it on, like you said, have it on in the background, sure. But it's definitely not a must-see for me.
No. There's a lot of other ones I would recommend first.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
It means there's stuff to choose from, which is great.
I know. I feel like there's a bigger influx of queer holiday films, which is good because we all deserve some cheese.
Yeah.
For holiday sure. Cheese.
Yeah. Who doesn't love cheese?
Holiday cheese plate.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Last, anything else?
No, I feel like I said everything I wanted to say, which, you know, wasn't much, but there's not a lot to this movie.
There's not a lot to this movie. Alrighty. If you have any thoughts or comments or recommendations, you can email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
Or you can find us on Instagram at galpalswatch.
Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your year.
Happy holidays. Yeah. I hope at least you get some time off, if nothing else.
Ugh. We all want that.
Yeah.
Please rate, review, subscribe, and as always, keep it hella gay!